You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload. Little known fact, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow has this episode in it.
Hi-di-di-di-di.
Oh god.
I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Michael Flatley.
The Lord of the Dance.
The Lord of the Dance.
Now show us your moves then.
All right. And who are you?
Samantha.
There we go. All right. Hey, we have a great show for you. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Start your day drinking now. Start now.
That's what we got to do. We got a great show for you this week. We actually have our long-awaited review of Black Panther. I think we've waited long enough that everyone who's going to see it has seen it, so we can get into spoilers with it and all that fun stuff, as well as a little bit of news.
We got to let the cat out of the bag.
That's right. But first, we have some things we're going to be checking out.
We did check out.
We're going to talk about. Yes.
I watched the first three episodes of this new TBS animated series called Final Space.
Oh, that looks good. Was it good?
Surprisingly, yeah. Like, it's an adult animated show, but it's not like, it doesn't like hit you overhead with extreme stupidity like, say, like an American Dad or Family
Guy
or something.
That's good.
Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong, like the main character is pretty dumb. So Final Space follows, I have forgotten his name, the main character's name.
Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance?
No, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
I'd watch that show.
Yeah.
A sci-fi show starring Michael Flatley captaining a starship.
Dancing his way across the stars?
Yeah.
Is he still dancing around?
Probably. You think he still wears that like weird little headband?
And no shirt?
Yeah.
Well, that's how he gets his dancing powers, by not wearing a shirt. You cover up the shirt. It's like a Samson and Delilah sort of thing. You put a shirt on Michael Flatley and he loses all
ability
of coordination and dance. Yeah.
He actually can't walk.
Yeah, that's it.
He river dances everywhere. Anyway, Gary. That's his name. Anyway.
I was going to jokingly say Gary.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
You're psychic.
Yeah.
Or is Gary the ship?
Uh-oh.
No, I can't even remember.
Okay, anyway, let's move. Keep moving.
So, you have this guy who
may or may not be named Gary.
he impersonates a pilot in the Space Corps or whatever of this
Space Fleet.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. And to impress a girl, and he gets called to combat or whatever, and he can't fly. So he goes to prison, and his prison sentence is being a prisoner on a ship, an AI-powered ship,
mm-hmm.
basically, I don't know, fixing satellites and whatnot, and he is an idiot. He is a flat-out idiot, and there's, like, robots on the ship, and he, like, starts naming them, and, like, you see him walk around the ship with, like, names written on their foreheads.
Okay.
There's a lot of good voices in it, too, like... David Tennant's in it.
Wow.
Tom Kenny.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, I know, right? Of course, Tom Kenny's in everything.
Well, Tom Kenny.
Fred.
Armisen?
Yes. He's in it.
He's in everything, too.
Yeah.
This is true, honestly. But as he's fixing this one satellite on his sentence or whatever, he's kind of crazy because he's been alone for so long. this green ball kind of like flies through space and like, attaches itself to his face. He's like,
is it like the one from Heavy Metal? The Lochnauer?
Oh, yeah. No. No. Man, I haven't watched that in a long time. But no, it's this little green cute guy that doesn't really talk. He kind of just makes noises.
Mm. It's me.
Accurate, actually. Some of the noises I'm pretty sure I've heard you make. But it turns out this thing he names Mooncake.
Also it was, me.
Which was named after a caterpillar he was given to by his father as a child, apparently, is a super weapon. Huh. A planet-destroying super weapon with an adorable little face that kind of reminds me of the three-eyed aliens from Toy Story. Except he has two eyes. I want to say David Tennant plays the bad guy in it, actually.
Right on.
I think so. Yeah.
The Lord Commander, that's all you really know what his name is.
Lord Commander.
And he's, like, really short, and you think he'd be kind of funny, but he's actually truly kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, these, like, psychic powers, and he, like, can, like, literally rip people apart.
Oh, wow.
Which he kind of does.
Wow.
And then there's, like, an alien bounty hunter named Avocado, who is a cat man.
Avocado.
Yeah, his name's Avocado, and his life's goal is to free his son from Lord Commander's prison, whose name is Little Cotto.
I want to watch this.
It's actually kind of good.
I hope it's on Hulu.
You can watch it on the... Well, you don't have cable, so you probably can't watch it on the TBS app.
Wah. Well, I'm sure it's available somewhere.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm heavily winking at this statement.
Nudge.
Yeah. But no, it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it feels like it's not going to be a long series.
Yeah, you know, I think I've seen trailers for it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, they've put a bunch of, like, stuff, like those ads before. Yeah.
I know videos. I've skipped trailers for it on YouTube.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought it was a YouTube series the first time I saw one of those trailers.
Yeah, it looked like that good quality.
It looked like Bravest Warriors a little tiny bit.
Yep.
Just enough to make you think, maybe this is a Frederator thing.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a mix between, like, say, like a Bravest Warriors and maybe kind of like a Rick and Morty-ish kind of thing.
A Family Guy, kind
of. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some good jokes in it, though.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But there's also some really graphic violence.
Oh, there you go.
So, like Rick and Morty.
Yeah. So is this like TBS looking at Rick and Morty a few seasons ago and saying, we want that.
Yeah, give us some of that.
We want some of that goodness.
We want the Szechuan sauce madness.
Probably, except some of the jokes aren't as well written.
So TBS.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Where comedy goes to die.
To die.
Quite.
When is the regular show guys show going to be on TV?
Oh, I don't know. I really want to watch that, too.
Seems like that's been in production forever.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I go back, and if, like, I want a pick-me-up, I'll go back and watch the trailer again and get excited again.
Because
that looks so good.
I forget what it was called. Like, is it called Close Enough?
Something like that.
Yeah. And they're, like, real people.
Yeah.
Instead
of Bird and Raccoon.
Yeah, and like, you know, they...
Bird and Weird Dog.
Bird and Trash Panda.
Yeah.
Trash Boat.
Which kind of screams like Daggett from Angry Beavers.
Yeah, he is kind of like Daggett.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a show.
Oh, that's a great show.
Yeah, I know. That's why I own the whole series.
Yeah.
Did I do anything else?
I'll tell you what, while you're thinking of stuff that you guys might have done, I can go through mine real quick. Over the weekend, this past weekend, I went down to the Grandview Theater and did one of their beer tastings. They do between them and Studio 35, because they're both
owned by the same people now.
They do monthly beer tastings with a movie. And the movie for this month was The Fifth Element, which is one of my favorite all-time movies.
One of my favorite time movies ever.
I love that movie so much. So
Super Green.
Super Green. Coming, Dallas. Yeah, sorry, that's a terrible, terrible Chris Tucker impression I just did.
Yeah,
that was really bad. Yeah, I know. I'm apologizing.
I thought you were slipping into your Irish accent again.
Oh, Corbin Dallas. Kind of save the universe. No. Okay. So anyway, the brewery, they always get like microbrew breweries that come in and stuff. It was the Brew Kettle. I've never heard of this place before. I don't have any
reference
to them whatsoever. I probably should have done a little bit of research before coming on the air, but we all know that there's no like research done for this show
or craft beers in general.
We make a list.
Yeah, true. But what it is, you go in, you pay, you know, a little bit of money, you get a 10 little, it's like
Beer flights?
Yeah. Well, not so much beer flights, but they're like almost Dixie cup sized.
Okay.
Different tasters.
Basically something a little more than a shot.
Yeah, about a shot and a half, really, is what it is. What it works out to is to be about two full-size beers worth of
enough so you drink. Can still drive home.
Yes, exactly. And they do it before the movie starts. So the whole thing, the whole event takes like a couple hours. So you sit there, and they play clips between each beer. They explain a little bit about each beer, which I don't know or care about any of that stuff. So, whatever. But they play clips, and then they do giveaways. A bunch of people, this time around, they gave away a bunch of Funko Pops and a bunch of T-shirts and stuff like that. Like, they bought a bunch of the Funko Pop Fifth Element line, including the D.Va Funko, which I guess is incredibly rare.
Hmm.
The guy who was running it actually told the person who won the thing, won it in the raffles, that he told him, if I were you, I'd go on eBay and check the prices of this, because you might actually get your money back for this event by putting this thing online. So, but no, they did that. They played a bunch of clips, a lot like the Bad Movie Night kind of clips, that sort of thing.
Mm.
And then you watch the movie, and it's great. It's super, super good. And that is the first time I had stepped foot inside the Grandview Theater since it was taken over by Studio 35.
Since they ruined
it. And it is completely different in there. It is totally 100% different. They like remodeled the entire building. It doesn't even look like
that's really a shame because the original was a historical.
It was.
Had historical significance. It was still looking the same as it had.
True, well, kind but of. Also it wasn't making any money. Like, I mean, I miss the old Grandview Theater, and I miss the folks that ran the old Grandview Theater. Now, I know you and Samantha knew them a little better than I did, because you guys went down there for the Doctor Who things
a lot
and talked to them a lot more than I have. But I miss, don't get me wrong, I miss that a lot. But what Studio 35 has done with the Grandview Theater and kind of turned it into an
actual
Studio 35 too. I got to give them props. They did a really good job remodeling the place and renovating it. I kind of miss the old Grandview, but if it had to turn into something else,
I guess Studio 35
to not get completely shut down,
yeah,
it could have been turned into something much worse. Let me put it that way.
Does it have more room than Studio 35?
Yes.
I'm about to say, because it gets cramped in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It has a way more room in there. It's like probably double the size in bar space.
Nice.
Well, they didn't change the size of the theater any. So if you remember the old Grandview, where it had like that big, huge, long walkway to get in, the bar starts at the windows at the front, and it stretches all the way back to the theater in the back.
Nice.
Like, so it's like full size.
Like opened up.
Opened up. Yeah.
Okay.
And you don't have to like walk around a couple of different hallways to try to get to the restrooms. They've like renovated that over. Mm.
Yeah, that's the worst part of Studio 35 is how cramped it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it gets
so
busy.
Even when it's not crowded, it's pretty cramped.
It's tiny, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Studio 35 wasn't designed at all to have a bar in the front of it.
Yeah.
And then they threw that thing in there. This one, it seems like it works a little better.
Yeah.
And they actually have fixed meals in there as well. You can get a sub or a pizza or whatever, like in-house. They don't have to go to a different, the pizza place down the road.
A second location.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad I had a chance to go down and check that out. It was great, and I would definitely recommend going and seeing any of those. The next one they're doing is Strange Brew, which is the Bob and Doug McKenzie movie. That's it's an old Second City SCTV skit that Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, not the
Wendy's guy. Not Ohio's own Dave Thomas.
No, Canada's own Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
They play these, basically it's like if Wayne and Garth were super, super Canadian and just talking about hockey and beer.
You mean more Canadian than Michael Myers already is?
Right, exactly. But then they actually got their own movie starring those two characters. But I think that one actually might be sold out because they're like getting some weird, super rare import like kegs that have been like been processed for like 10 years or something.
Jeez.
It's like some crazy amount or something like that. But no, that was a lot of fun. The other thing I checked out, and I'll do this one real quick because it's not super nerdy, but it's something worth talking about. I saw The Greatest Showman. That's a super good movie.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
It's really good. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with musicals. If I like it, I really like it, but nothing's worse than a poorly done musical.
Well, obviously.
It's almost as bad as a poorly done comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this movie was really, really well done. The visuals on it were pretty excellent. Hugh Jackman was just acting up a storm.
He did some huge acting.
Hugh Jackman did some huge acting.
And singing.
Yeah, he sang. There was...
Well, he sang in Les Miserables, too.
Yeah, the woman... I don't know the actress's name, but the woman who played the bearded lady. The whole thing is about P.T. Barnum and how he started the...
Barnum and Bailey.
Well, it ends with it becoming Barnum and Bailey. But it was like up until
spoilers.
The point... Yeah, well, you can kind of see kidding. Where it's going with it. But it starts with, you know, the Museum of Oddities, and then he starts adding more and more like sideshow attraction kind of things. And then it becomes Barnum and Bailey Circus, essentially. There's not too much in the way of like conflict until like right at the end of the third act. it's like everything is going super great, and then everything sucks for 15 minutes, and then it ends on a high note, which, I mean, it's fine. But the woman who played the bearded lady did a fantastic job. She has a great, great singing voice. A couple of the actors sounded a little bit too auto-tuned. They had that little bit, tiny bit of like robot in the background of their voice, especially young P.T. Barnum. They had a little kid play him as like a youngster or whatever. But no, it was really, really well done. And what is it? Zac Efron. I usually don't like the guy in things ever, but he did a really good job as Bailey, the other guy in it. Although I will say, I did like Zac Efron in High School Musical. Yes, of course. That's what I was going to say. No, he was in The Disaster Artist. He has an uncredited role as you guys have seen The Room. We've all seen The Room. The guy who plays the drug dealer. The super overly like roided out angry drug dealer in The Room, he plays that guy. And the thing is, he's unrecognizable. Like, he has the hat and the goatee and stuff. He's unrecognizable. But anyway, The Greatest Showman, if you know, it's probably in the cheap theaters now. It's where I saw it. And like, go see it. It's good.
Speaking of Tommy Wiseau, did you see his
Joker
video?
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is.
He should be the Joker.
He should.
I think he understands the Joker better than Jared Leto ever did.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. He looks like the Joker.
I'm not even sure Jared Leto knows how to human.
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, neither does Tommy Wiseau, but he's an alien, so he gets a pass.
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau gets a hard pass because he is not human.
Hey, did we talk about Everything is Terrible on here?
I can answer that question for you. No, you didn't.
No, we didn't. Well, that's something we did at Studio 35 a couple weeks ago.
Sure. Go for it.
Everything is Terrible is like this collective of people who like find weird found footage from like old VHS tapes and stuff posted on the internet. But they occasionally do live shows where they, you know, go around with their weird videos. And they also do like a stage show with it. And we went to that at Studio 35, and it was hilarious and great.
Are they the one that built the pyramid
They're trying to build a pyramid of Jerry Maguire's.
That's
yes.
it. Yeah. Yeah.
They did build a whole video store
of nothing but Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire's kind of their thing.
Okay.
Because it's the most common VHS tape.
Right.
If you go into a thrift store, you're almost always going to see a couple Jerrys.
Do you think that is why they used Jerry Maguire in the Batman Lego movie as a sly, like, reference to Everything is Terrible?
It's possible. I could see him doing that.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. I derailed a little.
But it was like, kind of religion and Satan themed.
Awesome.
So it was a lot of clips from like weird public access religious shows or televangelists or schlocky like demon movies all strung together. It was very funny. They kind of had an overarching their stage show plot was pretty good. When you walk in, they had just that looping footage of a guy in a like a crappy demon costume, like laughing, and then, like flanking the stage were two upside down crosses made of Jerry Maguire tapes.
Oh, that's great.
And it smelled like brimstone. Like they'd gotten like an essential oil or something that smelled like burning. And it was,
oh man.
And
they had that, like, walked in like, what does that smell? I was like, is that brimstone?
it tastes like burning.
That's fantastic. That is excellent.
Oh man.
But it's a great show. Like anytime they're in town, if you're into that sort of thing, it's worth seeing. They've come to Columbus at least 3 times now, and we've gone to every single
one.
Yeah,
I remember you telling me about the one time you guys went a while back. But no, that sounds super, super great.
Yeah, it's kind of like the first half of Bad Movie Night.
Before the bad movie?
Yeah, except it lasts the whole, like, hour and a half.
Okay.
And they have like really elaborate costumes and stuff. Oh, yeah.
They
make
someone that makes really good costumes.
Yeah, really? For the stage show bits.
What was it called? Because it was He-Man theme.
Oh yeah, there was two He-Man parody characters. It was Testa-Man. there was a He-Man guy and a Skeletor knockoff fighting at one point. That was very funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Watched that AP Bio show.
Oh yeah, we did watch that show.
Yeah, how was that?
It's pretty good. Glenn Howerton's really funny. He's kind of playing, you know,
he's different.
He's different than.
He's more sad.
Yeah, there's a little more pathos with his character in the show than it is with Dennis Reynolds.
Okay, so what's the like elevator pitch? What's it about?
He's a disgraced Harvard philosophy professor. Did they really say why he has to go to Toledo?
Well, it's because he got kicked out of Harvard. No, he didn't get tenure, and they gave it to his rival, and he had moved back to his dead mom's house in Toledo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So now he's a AP bio teacher at a public high school.
And he just philosophy at Harvard.
Yeah, and he just doesn't care, and he doesn't want to be there. And he refuses to teach the kids biology at all. And the principal is like Patton Oswalt, is this kind of just like pushover guy that he just pushes around so he doesn't ever get in trouble for not doing his job.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just uses the kids to try and get back at his rival or come up with some dumb scheme about something that's making him mad at that particular point in time.
Yeah, the kids try to catfish him, which is pretty
Yeah,
funny.
Try to catfish his rival, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
He walks around everywhere in, like, sweatpants and carries a plastic bag with him everywhere for some reason. He always just comes busting through the door. Everybody starts shutting up. Everybody sit down, start shutting up, and, like, throws his plastic bag on the table, on the desk.
Like, throws his apple at the trash can and misses it every time.
Yeah. It's a pretty good show. I would watch more of it, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool.
And it takes place in Toledo.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's kind of a bummer that, like, the butt of the joke is he has to go to Toledo.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. But, like,
which he's very rude about Toledo.
Yeah.
But I think, like, as it goes on, he's learning that, you know, he's the jerk and Toledo's okay. Even though it's Toledo.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get into our Black Panther review and a little bit of news as well.
Rawr.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hey, we're back. That was Where the Streets Have No Name by U2, because it's
good. Irish.
Get some Irish boys up in here.
That's right. Good times.
Yeah.
Edge. What was his name?
His name is The Edge.
The Edge.
The Edge.
Bono, The Edge.
His name used to be the whole seat, but now he only needs the edge.
The whole seat. Bono and the whole seat.
All right. So, hey, let's go ahead and get into our
And blood. Adam and Larry.
Is that them? Is that their actual
the other
names?
Two guys.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you know that. That's excellent.
Hey, I've seen you two in concert a lot of times.
The most anything probably.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because my dad always takes us, and I'm not going to say no.
I mean, they put on a good show.
Yeah,
they put on a
decent show.
Not honestly their biggest fan, but they put on a good show.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. So, hey, let's get into our Black Panther review, because that's why people are tuning in.
Is it?
I think so. I think so. This week? Sure, why not? So, like we do with most of our movie reviews, I think what I want to try to do is do a few minutes of non-spoiler review, and then kind of say, hey, we're going to get into some deeper stuff, and then get into the deeper stuff. Sound good?
Sounds good.
So, okay, first impressions of Black Panther. What did you guys think?
It was great. Great movie. A+.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it. When I left the theater, I really don't think I had any real qualms with it.
No. And I'll be honest, there are very few qualms that I have with it right now, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that I've gone back and kind of thought about, and I can't think of usually the Marvel movies, after kind of sitting on it for a day or two, I can usually come up with a couple of like, well, this wasn't 100% great, or they could have, you know, tweaked it a little bit here or there. I don't have too many of those for Black Panther, to be honest. It was really solidly done.
It's just a really solid movie, and it's amazing that this far into the MCU, into the glut of superhero movies, Marvel is still like knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, that is amazing. I've been kind of worried when the bubble's gonna burst for Marvel.
And if they keep bringing in different people that bring different flavors to it, I think that's what's helping.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because it's nothing like the other ones at all.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, they haven't been relying on like the same director to do every single movie.
They're getting there with the Russo brothers.
Well, true.
But then again, the Russo brothers know what they're doing, mm-hmm. and they're really kind of knocking it out, too. It's kind of what makes me a little worried for Ant-Man and the Wasp, because I haven't seen a ton about it, and it just looks like generic superhero.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to be a good thing. Paul Rudd can Paul Rudd it up all he wants, but if the story's not great...
Yeah, that's like the lowest performing Marvel movie is Ant-Man.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Black Panther. I really enjoyed it. I thought the visuals on it were just outstanding.
I thought
the setup for Wakanda, the way the city was built, where it's definitely like super high, crazy space tech, but also has like,
There's a name for that.
Afrofuturism.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Where they blended like traditional African culture mm-hmm. with a whole lot of like, you know,
spaceships. Well, not spaceships, but you know what I mean.
They might as well have been spaceships.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Basically. They had a big, he tools around in a big UFO for a bunch of them.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very cool UFO. I kind of want the Lego.
But just everything just looked so, like, the colors.
It doesn't look like anything else.
No,
it's
really,
very
it,
unique.
It really doesn't.
Uh-huh.
The whole movie isn't like anything else. The plot, the concepts, like, it's all really good.
I actually think some of the weakest points of the movie might be the superhero bits. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the movie had any really weak points, but I think...
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know,
like
what I mean?
When we get into the actual, like, you know, kind of the almost the paint by numbers of the Marvel.
At some point the movie becomes, well, we have to introduce this, this, and this because it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But it kind of gets past that kind of mm-hmm. quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what did it a huge service was the brunt of the origin story. I mean, there was a lot of world building and a lot of backstory to the Black Panther mythos in this, but I think the brunt of the origin story was told in Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they didn't have to set that up.
Yeah. You, like it's assumed you know what Wakanda is at this point, at least enough to where they don't
I mean,
have
he
to
still looks kind of explain yeah. yeah lightly just
yeah
yeah but they didn't spend a whole lot of time on it.
And like he starts the movie as Black Panther. You don't start the movie with the death of T'Chaka,
yeah,
the previous king, I should yes. probably say. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it immensely.
I liked Killmonger's origin story.
Yes, that was
very good.
Killmonger was a very compelling character.
Yeah, he might have been my favorite character in the movie, honestly. He had a very compelling backstory.
Actually, same here, yeah.
Like, you kind of felt for him.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go ahead and get into the spoilers? Because I kind of want to keep talking about Killmonger, but we can't really talk about him without delving deep.
First, let's say Shuri was fantastic.
Shuri was great. Yeah, I hope we see more of that character. I hope I actually kind of have a theory about what's going to happen with that character. But I hope we see more of Shuri in future films.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we can get into
now
spoilers.
We can get into spoilers. Okay.
Here's your spoiler alert, kids.
Yeah, if you don't want to get spoiler for Black Panther, well, one, go see it because it's great. And two, come back in like 10, 15 minutes. Killmonger. Let's talk about Killmonger. Let's get right into it.
Eric Killmonger.
Yeah. He is probably one of the most... Yeah. Well, yeah. But he is probably one of those three-dimensional characters, especially three-dimensional villains that has popped up in one of these superhero-based films. And I'll be honest, on a certain level, I agree with like his reasoning behind what he was doing.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little too extreme.
Yes.
What Wakanda needed to do is actually a combination of the
right.
two things.
Okay, so since
that's very civil rights-y.
Yeah.
I mean, you have T'Challa as the Martin Luther King and Killmonger's the Malcolm X.
That's really what it was. Yeah. the big crux of the movie is Wakanda has all this super crazy future tech because of vibranium.
But the world doesn't know about it.
But the world doesn't know about it, and Wakanda has decided to take a hands-off, like, we're going to keep all this to ourselves.
Isolationist,
yeah.
Like, and the rest of the world thinks Wakanda is just a poor African farm nation.
Right. And Killmonger's whole thing is, the world needs to know about Wakanda, but I'm going to do that by trying to overthrow all world governments. So,
well, they're the colonized. If we don't, they're catching up to
yeah.
us, and if we don't take over them,
they're going to
the
take
colonizers
over
are going to take over us, like
right.
they did.
Right, and I think the answer
in other places.
I think the answer what Wakanda should have done, what they ended up doing at the end of the film, is they decided to open, basically stop being isolationist and start sharing some of their technology
with the world.
With the world, so in. In theory, I liked a lot of Killmonger's like reasoning behind wanting stuff. Still kind of a dick.
Yeah.
To say the least.
I mean, come on. His name's Killmonger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan did an awesome job playing
did
him.
A fantastic
what
job.
A cool guy.
Yeah. Super cool guy, as it turns out. Yeah.
Big anime fan, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really liked the jaguar like version of the Black Panther suit.
Oh yeah, the gold one that he wore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually liked both of the updates to
yeah.
the Black Panther costume, and I like the idea that the Black Panther costume now absorbs and redirects all like
kinetic energy,
which could be taken as an allegory for like blow after blow or abuse after abuse or, verbally or whatever.
And reversing it.
And just reversing it back out and kind of, yeah. So
there's a lot of like mm-hmm. allegory and kind of hidden meanings to a lot of things in this film, I think.
Which is good. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's yeah. what you need to be done. Yeah.
And I feel like it's going to be kind of hard because, I'm me, but like the representation it gives people in this film.
Yes. Yes, this is a movie that Marvel needed to put out.
Yes.
Because let's face it, they don't have a ton of minorities in the Marvel MCU.
It's really. Mostly
it's yeah.
white dudes in their 30s.
Yeah. And well,
which three out of four of us here are.
Well,
but...
yeah, but the And a lot of the problem is a lot of the most popular characters in comics, and it's Marvel and DC, they all were created in the 60s when representation was...
not necessarily a
forefront. Fairly non-existent.
Yeah.
So
except for, like, Black Vulcan.
Yeah. Who makes electricity in his pants. It's a Harvey Birdman joke. Look it up. It's a great show.
Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a movie that Marvel really needed to... they really needed to do. This, I would almost put this akin to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are some similar vibes in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely are. The isolationist versus being part of the world stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of the lady warriors definitely gave off a Themyscira vibe.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about them for a bit. And especially, was it Okoye or Otoye or something like that?
I think the
head of the guard?
The general?
Yes.
The general of the army?
Yes. She was badass.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was great.
And her boyfriend or husband or whatever he was like the
dude from Get Out?
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me a couple days to figure that out because I refused to look it up on IMDb because I was like, I know who this guy is and I got to figure it out for myself. But yes,
I can do this.
And I can do this. It took me a while, but I did it.
Like, I liked how Wakanda, even though they have a king, mm-hmm. is made up of different tribes of groups.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all have like their own distinct, almost like mini culture.
Yes. Absolutely.
And the challenge scenes were very cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The powers of the Black Panther will be washed away.
Stripped away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a minute there, I forgot that was Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. I liked the challenge sequence that actually brought up one of the only minor point, like the lower points I had with the film. Some of the CG didn't look great. Some of the CG looked a little rushed, especially that scene where they're all standing on the waterfall during the challenge sequence. All of the crowd in the background looked like poser images that were just kind of copy and pasted over and over.
Yeah.
It was all Deep Roy from
That's it.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
All Deep Roy, all the way down. Yeah. So between that and the war rhinoceros and the final fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I like that rhino.
I liked it in concept, but the CG on it did not, I don't know, it didn't look quite
particularly great.
Up to par with what I know is commercially available for Disney to, they could have thrown a couple extra million behind it and touched up a couple of things is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But they own everything and they have a bajillion dollars. This rhino, this could be a real rhino.
Right.
They could have trained a rhino.
Yeah.
They could have built one.
And even at that, it's not really that big of a negative.
No.
One thing I was like, they could have done a little better there.
It was definitely one of the more superhero-y bits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that how that looked?
Mm-hmm. Shuri was great. Shuri was super great. And I have a theory that she's going to end up being either an Iron Man stand-in
or Ironheart
or something along those lines when after Avengers 4 when Robert Downey Jr.'s contract is up
and he dies
and he's gone. Oh yeah, he's going to die.
They're going to kill him.
Oh,
yeah.
He is 100% going to die in Avengers either 3 or 4 cuz he was the first Avengers movie so he should be like the last.
Yeah.
Kind of that sort of thing.
He was the first here and first to go.
First to go. Yeah. So,
especially since they're talking about he's going to do another Sherlock.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first one wasn't bad. I never saw the second one. But
can it be the one where Moriarty kills him? Because that would be a really good movie.
Oh, the Reichenbach Fall?
Yeah, that'd be a really good movie. But yeah, I definitely want to, and I'm sure we're going to see more Shuri.
She was using repulsors at one point. Like,
that's great. Yeah. What's her name? Black Panther's the spy, Black Panther's love interest.
It starts with an N. I can't remember.
It's not Nokia, because that's a phone.
That's a phone.
A very well-built phone, might I add.
Anyway, that character, I liked that, like how Black Panther didn't gain his powers in this movie, he had already had a relationship and had lost the relationship with that character prior to this movie happening.
Oh, my God. Black Panther's Lion King.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It parallels really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, there were What was it? Ryan Coogler said that the script had like some Shakespearean elements to it, which so does the Lion King.
Yeah.
So
or Kimba the White Lion.
Also, that scene when Black Panther saying, "I just can't wait to be king."
Right.
That was really weird.
Well, I mean, even he even sees the ghost of his dead dad in a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Like Mufasa. Like it's definitely there.
And that warthog that farts.
All right.
Do you know that was the first time a Disney character had ever farted was Pumbaa?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. Sure. But no, I don't know. I love this movie. I think it's, if not my top Marvel film of the bunch, it's definitely one of like top three.
I think it's my second favorite.
Yeah.
I think Thor Ragnarok I liked more, but only... I think Black Panther is the better movie.
Yeah. Yes.
But
yeah,
Thor Ragnarok was really fun.
It's a little bit more fun.
It
yeah.
has a line straight to your funny bone.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. My top three, and they change, they rotate in and out basically on a whim, but it's Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, and the first Guardians movie. I think those are the top three for me. But this movie is great. The one thing I wish this movie had a little more of, I wish it had a little more of like the super spy element to it. I think that one sequence in the casino in Korea, I think that was excellent. And it was, a lot of that was done out of suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were just being like super spies using crazy technology.
Yeah.
I wish there was a little more of that.
Yeah.
I also wish they didn't kill off Claw. He was a terrible, horrible human being, but
he was a good character.
He was a good character. And I get so tired of superhero films killing off villains.
Yeah, because they need them to come back.
Yeah, that's like, that's the whole point.
Also, what a couple great villain names. Ulysses Claw and Eric Killmonger.
Those are great names.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Andy Serkis did a great job. If Disney and Marvel were smart, they would release that fake mixtape Claw talked about a couple times, how he had made his own rap mixtape.
His Spotify or whatever.
His Spotify mixtape or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. That would be, they would do that.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, he is the sonic weapon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I like how the trailer's kind of red herring you to think that he is the main villain.
Yes. Yeah. Although you take one look at the cast listing and you go, no.
Yeah.
Here's a guy named Killmonger. I'm pretty sure he's going to be the bad guy.
And his Vegeta costume.
Yes.
Very much looks like...
Mm-hmm. His Saiyan armor chest
piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though, there were a lot of things I was reading where, like, this movie, like, activated a lot of people, like, certain people's phobias. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's, like, a fear of, like, bumps and holes or something.
Oh, because of the...
He's covered in...
Well, there's the scars on that, and then there was like a lot of like the Wakandan like face art and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of like messed with people's like certain things.
Or you could be that girl who broke her retainer when
I was wondering how
Killmonger
we could work that into the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, more like Michael B. Jordan was a cool guy and bought her a new retainer, basically, which is kind of great.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like the effect that Adam Driver wanted in The Last Jedi and didn't get.
He did not.
I don't think he wanted that. He wouldn't have hiked his pants up to his nipples if he wanted that kind of reaction.
When I saw that in the movie, I was just like, what? Just immediately like, why? Why is his pants pulled up so high?
Well, to be fair, so did Daisy Ridley. So did Rey. Yeah. I think that's her exact words are, why? Why are your pants pulled up this high?
Though it made for really fun, you know, online challenges of the Kylo Ren challenge.
Yeah.
I like that challenge, except for the fact that John Mayer started it.
This is true. Aww. This is true. Anyway, back to Black Panther.
Yeah, back to Black Panther.
I saw a comic somebody made about it, and it's them telepathically communicating, and Ray's just like, why aren't you wearing a shirt? And he pulls his pants up over his nipple. It's like, is this better?
That's good. Yeah. But, you know, Black Panther fired on all cylinders. I think the entire cast was fantastic.
I really loved the Gorilla Tribe guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was really cool.
He was really good.
But something. I can't remember anybody's names, and I feel terrible.
It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, and I've only watched the movie once.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see this movie again before we talked about it, but it just didn't shake out that
way. Yeah, it's not like super fresh in my mind anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I would definitely see it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely will go see this again before it leaves theater.
Also, the fact that their tribe was like the least like technological.
Yeah.
It was all like strength.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was kind of their thing, though.
Yeah, the gorilla tribe. This
mountain snow gorillas. Mm-hmm. That mined the mountain or whatever.
Yeah, they were the miners or something.
Yeah. Like
that. But, you know, I don't know what else to say about the movie that hasn't already been said. It's excellent.
It's really, really good, you guys. Go see the movie.
Yeah. There's some people that have been kind of down on the post-movie, like, credit scenes, like the mid-credit scene and then the after-credit scene.
Mm.
But that's not the point of the movie. You don't go into a movie hoping, like, oh boy, I can't wait till the end so I can see all that extra stuff. The mid-credit scene was absolutely needed and really should have been part of the actual movie.
I don't even
remember
what it was.
It was in front of the UN.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually following through on, you know, starting up the, you know, Wakanda's entry into the world stage. And then the post-credit scene was Bucky with one arm, and he was talking to Shuri for a couple seconds, and that's fine.
Earlier in the movie when they have Martin Freeman's character, Agent Ross or whatever his name was.
This is the second white boy brought into the...
Broken white boy.
Why was he in the movie?
Because they had written Agent Coulson out too soon, and they can't bring him back from the TV series, because that character is Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
Basically. He is just Coulson. But that's it.
But anytime he was on screen, I'm just like, I don't care about you.
Yeah, exactly. Would you have cared about it if it was Agent Coulson? Because he's had more of a connection to all the other things.
Yeah, probably.
See, exactly.
If they hadn't, like, you know, done the whole thing where they basically just ripped S.H.I.E.L.D. apart.
Yeah.
And then put it back together, and then I think they ripped it apart again.
Yeah.
And actually, I think as far as the S.H.I.E.L.D. series goes, I think Coulson's dead again. I'm not sure.
That's the worst part about that show is that, well, one, I don't care, and two,
it's a bad show.
It's a bad show, but at least it used to tie into the movies.
And then it went total bananas.
And then it went bananas, and now they are their own completely separate thing that doesn't even...
Well, Joss Whedon refused to tie it in
because
of his master plan with the second Avengers movie.
La-di-da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's his fault.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's actually his fault, but I don't like him.
Well, also, and like the whole like the Netflix thing is like it's connected but loosely.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very loosely.
Like it exists within the same universe, but it's so mass removed
and tonally different.
Oh yeah.
Although I would like to see the characters at least pop up at least incredibly briefly in Avengers 4.
Oh man, yeah, if Jessica Jones shows up,
even for one scene,
that would be so rad.
Even if there's like an invasion or something and it briefly cuts to Hell's Kitchen and you just see the Defenders like punching people for
and like
then a
they're
scene.
Like, oh no, Iron Fist is dead.
Oh no, no one cares. Yeah.
That'd be a great way for them to get rid of Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Though I've heard Defenders kind of redeems Iron Fist a little bit.
It's hard to go further down. I mean, he had nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The weakest of the Netflix series.
Mm-hmm. You know, so going back to Black Panther, I just realized there's one character that we haven't talked about. Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we talked about every other character, and I think that goes to show that, like, the actor did a great job in the role, but... Chadwick Boseman, yeah. Thank you. I think he did a fantastic job, and he really put a lot of pathos into his portrayal, but the character itself is a little bit of a blank slate.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, he's probably the least interesting of the bunch.
Mm-hmm. And not to say he's not interesting.
Not to say that he's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I'd say all his character development was done in Civil War.
You know, when you have an entire cast of tens... He is like a 7, and that's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him in more films as well.
It's not his fault.
No, it's not
the way the story goes.
Yeah, and I don't know how they would have written the story any other way to make him more interesting that wouldn't have derailed the film and made it more, you know, kind of cheap and superhero-y, yeah. I guess, for a lack of putting of a better way of putting it.
At this point, the world had already been sold on Black Panther from Civil War.
Yeah.
So it didn't need to make us like him anymore. It needed to sell us on his extended world.
No, that's true. That's really true. That's a really good way of putting it. I like that.
Like, I feel like, I don't know. I was like trying to think because like Spider-Man Homecoming kind of almost does like a similar thing-ish where we didn't need an origin because we had it.
True, because everybody knows. Well,
that's different. That's
true. Everybody knows Spider-Man and how he got bit by a spider. I don't think people know Black Panther the same.
No, people who saw Civil War,
yeah,
knows Black Panther, and people who read the comics know Black Panther. That's about it.
But everybody and their 2-year-old cousin knows who Spider-Man is and how Spider-Man.
Yeah, they know how Spider-Man is. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And the other argument I'd put in that comparison between Spider-Man and Black Panther is, and Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man is the most, he's the best part of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is the most interesting character.
The best part of that movie is when they're like, hey, Spider-Man, do a flip.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yeah, that's pretty great. But in comparison, Black Panther is not the most important part of his own story.
This is true.
And that's fine. Again, he's already been established. We need to build the world. Now, okay, so, but my question is now, how much of this world building is going to get torn down in Avengers Infinity War, Gauntlet War?
Probably a lot of it, because of just how vastly the Wakandan technology would change the look of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, Wakanda's basically, you know, Tomorrowland.
Basically.
And if they share all their technology, it'll change all of the... The Marvel Universe won't look like our universe anymore.
True.
So I don't think, you know, something's going to happen.
Well, the trailers that they keep showing, it's like there's a big, huge, you know, war
fight in
between
Wakanda.
The Chitauri aliens from Avengers 1 and the Wakandan army, basically.
Those Chitauri aliens that were so well developed.
Oh, they're so great.
Everybody,
just so great.
Everybody knows who they are.
Yeah.
And I totally would know that's what they're called if I hadn't read it somewhere after the movie.
You mean the not Skrulls, because they should have been the Skrulls?
Yeah. Weren't the Chitauri basically the Skrulls of the Ultimate Universe?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. And the reason they used it was because the Skrulls are actually tied in with
Fantastic Four
rights.
But I would never have known their name or anything about them had I not come in contact with it outside of Avengers.
They never actually said.
Yeah, they just kind of show up. It's really...
They mention it in...
Iron Man 2. They name-check Chitauri in Iron Man 2. No, 3. 3? Which one's the one that where he has PTSD for being up?
That's
in space?
Three. That's three. Three.
Iron Man 3. They name check it then.
They also
which
name check it.
Which is the movie after the first Avengers.
Yeah, that is true.
So do you even know who they are in the first movie? What happens in the first Avengers? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
It's just a blur of superhero fighting, and then they eat shawarma.
Yeah.
And the Hulk throws Loki around for a hot minute.
Loki opens a portal.
There's a big old space laser that's shooting up into space.
Which happens in a lot of superhero movies.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. That's another thing.
They
I'm glad this
first,
movie doesn't
though.
Have a giant like space laser or some kind of weird gun or anything like that. It was like an actual like Killmonger was like, we have spies out all over the world. We're going to give them just regular weapons. Well, regular Wakandan weapons,
yeah.
And say, go to town. There's no like super gun or super laser or
also,
like,
also
weather
the
dominator
Infinity
or something like that.
Gem.
Well, yeah.
Well, the vibranium's basically that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm worried that they're going to, that's how they're going to get around not having super technology in the following Avengers films, is that they're going to say that the vibranium is just one gigantic Infinity gem,
no.
And once Thanos plucks a little bit of it and puts it in his thing, it's like makes the rest of it inert or something. Like it makes the mountain inert, so I'm still trying to figure out why
Thanos would go to Wakanda. Like there has to be
because stories say so.
Well, I know, but
comics said this happened.
Yeah,
I mean
it's too expensive to do everything in space to make that space backdrop. So they go to New Zealand and pretend like it.
Pretend it's Africa.
Yeah.
News Africa.
Yeah. But anyway,
the Shire's on one side, and the other side is Wakanda. It.
Did you hear the whole? Do you know about the whole Shire thing and why there's hordes and stuff? They set up the Shire on some guy's farm, and there was supposed to be, you know, once they were done filming, after a couple days for pickups or whatever, the production was supposed to come in and tear everything down. And the farmer said, "Don't worry about it, guys. My boys and I will clean all this up." Never tore it down. Now they run tours on their land because it's on their land.
They knew. That guy wasn't like, dumb.
Universal or whoever it was, they legally can't go back in because their contract is up.
New Line.
New Line, yeah. They can't go back in because their contract's up and clean anything up.
New Zealand, like, pushes that, like, Lord of the Rings, like,
oh, yeah,
real hard. Like, there's a giant thing of Gollum in their airport.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's their one. It's their biggest thing now.
They could get around New Line entirely too if they just contact the Tolkien estate.
I think they did.
I think they did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, we got to wrap things up. But before we do, final thoughts on Black Panther. I say go see it. Go see it. Yeah.
No reason not to.
Yeah.
Like cats and superheroes, don't you?
Yeah. Everybody likes cats and superheroes. Well, most people like cats and superheroes.
Well, here's a cat superhero.
Yeah. Perfect.
And he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, for episodes of the show.
Yeah, and other stuff eventually. We're going to get to it.
We've been talking Let's Plays lately.
We're going to do it. It's going to happen. We are also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find this podcast. And someone dropped a phone, so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.